Today, my dear faithful, is the feast of Saint Stephen, but it is also the first Thursday, and today's Mass is taken from the Mass of Christ the Eternal High Priest, which you find in the back of your missals in the votive masses, and the epistle taken from the epistle of Saint Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things that appertain to God, that he may offer up gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on them that are ignorant and that err, because he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And therefore he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. Neither doth any man take the honor to himself, but he that is called by God, as Aaron was. So Christ also did not glorify himself, that he might be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, with a strong cry and tears, offering up prayers and supplications to him that was able to save him from death, was heard for his reverence. And whereas indeed he was the Son of God, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being consummated, he became, to all that obey him, the cause of eternal salvation, called by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to be intelligibly uttered. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 22. At that time, Jesus sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, With desire I have desired to eat this Pasch with you, because I suffer. For I say to you that from this time I will not eat, till it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And having taken the chalice, he gave thanks and said, Take and divide it among you. For I say to you that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God come. And taking bread, he gave thanks, and brake, and gave to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for a commemoration of me. In like manner, the chalice also, after he had supped, saying, This is the chalice, the New Testament in my blood, which shall be shed for you. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Words taken from the epistle of today's votive mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, my dear faithful, I'm going to tell you a true story about a struggling parish in a small town called Alta. This incident happened in the late 1800s. Alta had been long time the poorest parish in a very poor missionary diocese. However, in the space of just 3 years, that had all changed. For years, the Catholic parish had struggled for survival amidst poverty, religious bigotry, and the laxity of the Catholics. Now, however, at the time of this story, they were celebrating the consecration of their newly finished parish church. Just 3 years before, Father Henry, a newly ordained priest, had arrived, and the parish finally came to life. When he first came, Father Henry found not quite 20 poor families in the entire parish, and these families were lax in their religion. They could hardly support their pastor, and what they gave they gave grudgingly. 3 years later, though, there were 76 Catholic families, and they had completed a beautiful new parish church. The chief reason for this, aside from the priest's zeal, was the return to the faith of Mr. McDermott, who was the local factory owner and a fallen away Catholic of many years. The town of Altoa had long been considered McDermott's town, and McDermott held a grudge against Catholics, refusing to hire them. Once he was converted, his factory was open again to Catholics, and Catholic families flocked to the town. With his parish so quickly growing, Father Henry set about repairing the church. In just a short time, the repairs were completed, and the bishop came to consecrate the church and join in the celebration of such a great event. His bishop, his fellow priest, his parishioners, a whole crowd came to rejoice in the accomplishments of Father Henry. And yet, while all rejoiced, the bishop, he seemed quiet. He smiled readily, but with a certain meaningful sadness in his eyes. The great day continued on, though. The church was consecrated, the cornerstone was laid, and a great feast was held. Finally, the toast came, and all stood to honor Father Henry. One of the priests gave the toast, extolling the young priest's great accomplishments in such a poor parish. Then the bishop slowly stood to speak. He paused, and all wondered at the quiet. The bishop finally said, "No one more warmly than I, his bishop, tenders congratulations to Father Henry. This is truly a day that the Lord has made. But will you pardon an old man if he stems the tide of mirth for an instant?" The bishop then began to tell the story of just 10 years before, of how a certain Father Belmont had been stationed at that same poverty-stricken Alta. Few families attended, and they were both poor and lax in their faith. Father Belmont survived on a pittance, yet he never complained of the poverty. For the next few years, the bishop heard of Father Belmont through the priest's yearly reports and meetings. Then one winter night, the bishop was on a train near Alta when a boy rushed in, asking for him to come see Father Belmont. He begged this because the priest lay sick and even on death's door. The bishop rushed through the winter snows to his priest. He found him weak, but still conscious. The bishop gave him the sacraments, and then he knelt by his bed in prayer. The priest grew continually worse, and he fell into a delirium. And that was when the whole story came out, how through all those quiet years without complaint, Father Belmont survived on so little, had worked so hard, hoped so much, but always his hopes were crushed before him. His people were losing their faith. They were ceasing to care. And then there was Mr. McDermott, the rich factory owner, with his bigotry against Catholics and the persecution he instigated against the pastor. The local boys would insult and spit upon the priest when he walked through the town. But, the bishop said, every now and then, as if he had said it 1,000 times before. Father Belmont would murmur, "It's for God's sake. I am nothing. It will all come in his own good time." Father Belmont continued with his sad tale right down to just the day before, when he received a call from Mr. McDermott, the bigoted factory owner, who now asked for a priest to come. Mr. McDermott lay sick, and he even lay on death's door himself. The good priest immediately set out, trudging 25 miles to the apostate's bedside in the middle of the winter, to the same man who had despised and persecuted him. McDermott received the last rites, and the exhausted priest soon left for the rectory. Once inside, he collapsed in the fever that was now taking his life. Soon after finishing his account in his delirium, this zealous priest passed from this life. Mr. McDermott, on the other hand, he grew better. While still sick in bed, he asked to see the bishop, and the first question McDermott had was, "Is he dead?" The bishop knew who the factory owner was speaking of, and he told the story of Father Belmont's death. "God forgive me," cried out the sick man. "That priest died for me. He believed in the worth of a soul, and he himself was the noblest soul that Alta ever had." McDermott then fell silent, pondering long. He then turned to the bishop and said, "Bishop, send us another priest to Alta, who can do things, one after the stamp of the saint who just died. I will be his friend, and together we will carry on the work that saint began." Here, the bishop paused in his story to the people at the feast. He turned to Father Henry, the present pastor, and he said, "Father Henry, I did not praise you today as much as I might have done, because I reserve for you a praise that is higher than all of them. I believed when I sent you here that you were of Father Belmont's stamp, that you would also have willingly given your life for Alta." Here, my dear faithful, the story ends as far as it was told. That good priest, Father Belmont, did indeed understand, as Mr. McDermott said, the worth of a soul. This bloodless martyr knew and understood what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of the Sacred Heart for the souls of men. He saw that souls were worth such work and toil, pain and suffering, his life itself. And because of this understanding, Father Belmont, as the epistle for today's votive mass reads, was appointed for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. This good priest spent himself even unto dying for the love of God and for souls. He grasped something of the flame that burns in the Sacred Heart for souls, just as St. Margaret Mary herself received in one of her visions. At one time, St. Margaret Mary knelt before our Lord as our divine Savior, all resplendent with glory, revealed to her his most sacred heart. Brilliant flames shot forth from the heart of Christ, burning and consuming it with infinite love for mankind. Then our Lord took a small spark from his fire and placed it in the saint's heart. That little spark so inflamed St. Margaret Mary, she became the saint we know her as today. That, my dear faithful, is what every priest needs, a small spark of the infinite love of God to inflame his heart, to lead him to give everything for the conquest of souls. For that reason, I ask you, my dear friends, to pray for vocations, that many young men will catch that same spark of the Sacred Heart and willingly give their whole selves to becoming saintly priests and fervent religious. Pray that our young men may see what a joy, what a glory it is to be the instrument of God's grace, to remove sin from men's souls, to stand at the altar and bring down God himself, and to hold that same infinite God in his weak hands and carry the Creator to men. But do not forget to pray for those who have already taken this path. Pray that they may burn ever more brightly with God's love for men and live as Father Belmont from the story, giving their entire selves for God's glory and the salvation of souls. Ask God that we priests, both in the society and the congregation of St. Pius V, present and future, that we may all become saints and do our utmost to conquer souls for Christ. Pray for us, my dear faithful, knowing that we will always pray for you. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.